Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
So in order to take the sample, I open the stopcocks, I lift this valve to flush it, and then I'll turn the unit on, and you can hear how the pump comes on, and it'll flush air through the flask.
Mauna Loa is a volcano in Hawaii. Every day since 1958, climatologists have taken readings of the level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere from on top of its lava field slopes.
Walk away, and all this time I'll be holding my breath so that I don't contaminate the sample. After about a minute...
The air is neither pristine nor polluted here. When they started taking readings, there were 316 molecules of CO2 in every million molecules of the air that we breathe.
I'll close them off, turn the suitcase off, and bring everything in.
By 1997, when fears of global warming had finally captured the public and political imagination, the level had increased dramatically to 370 parts per million. Most of the countries in the world signed the Kyoto Protocol that year. Back then, 400 parts per million was a threshold that many committed to avoiding ever reaching.
Yesterday, we measured CO2 at Mauna Loa Observatory in Hawaii to go over 400 ppm, which is a milestone, you could say.
The average of all measurements taken on the 9th of May, for the first time since human beings began walking upright, exceeded 400 parts per million.
We think this is a significant milestone. It reminds us of the fact that CO2 in the atmosphere currently is higher than it has been in the last at least 2 million years.
This is not just one day's sampling at one weather station in the middle of the Pacific. There are scores of sampling points dotted all around the globe, all painting a pretty uniform picture.
Last year, we reported that all of our Arctic sites reached 400 ppm for the first time. And this year was followed by Mauna Loa reaching 400 ppm on a daily average for the first time. Soon the global average will follow. After that, we'll see the South Pole eventually reach 400 ppm. And after about 8 years or so, maybe nine, we'll never see anything in the 300s again.
Which is very worrying, as NASA climatologist James Hansen's modelling of what happens next suggests that we need to get levels down below 400 to avoid cataclysmic change.
What I've done is looked at a number of different phenomena, and all of these tell us that we had better not let CO2 stay for a long period of time above 350 parts per million, and that may even be too high. I'm just saying that we have to get back to at least that level. And it's going to take a while to do that. And by the time we get back there, we may realize, well, it's got to really be 300 or something like that.
The last time in the history of the globe that yearly average CO2 levels were this high, the Sahara Desert was a fertile savanna. Great, you say, but there was also no ice all year round at the Arctic, and sea levels were anywhere up to 20 feet higher. If you think the global economy can't deal with the need to slow down burning fossil fuels, James Hansen says, think of the not-too-distant economic alternative.
With a rising sea level, that is going to lead potentially to a very chaotic situation, because once you have hundreds of cities in a situation analogous to what happened in New Orleans, then we've got economic situation which is just out of control globally. On the long run, if that really happened, as I point out in the book, over centuries, we could actually get a runaway greenhouse effect, and then that's it for all the species on this planet.
What, though, about all the great strides made to arrest the problem? What about the carbon credit scheme, Europe's way of letting the market regulate how much polluting it thinks it can afford to do? Unfortunately, Europe's emission trading scheme stands on the point of collapse, as traders in carbon credits admit.
As a socially aware person, I'm shocked, because the price collapse is breaking the entire system. It counteracts the idea behind it.
When it was set up, the cost of a ton of emitted carbon was €30. The price has fallen since 2005 to about 5 euro, which is so low it has no punitive or deterrent effect at all. Polluters can afford to buy or ignore the credits with little or no impact to their bottom line.
It's an injustice in terms of the environment. We can see that emissions are not being reduced, so greenhouse gases have to be cut. Emissions trading isn't working, and that's mainly because nobody is being compelled to use it to protect the climate.
So if not carbon credits, what about all that investment in renewable forms of energy? Surely wind, wave and sun are eating into our carbon emissions.
The interesting thing is that where in the United States coal is pushed out of the market because of this cheap gas, we at this moment see a renaissance of coal in Europe.
Maria van der Hoeven, head of the International Energy Agency. Last week, the IEA released the rather depressing news that 20 years of investment in renewable energy had made precisely no difference to the levels of carbon emissions whatsoever. In lean times, coal has proven more popular than ever.
The world is using more and more coal, even when it's being less in China, but in India, but still the growth figures are there. And if it goes on like that, we expect the world to burn about 1.2 billion tons of coal more in 2035.
That's a lot of coal.
That's a lot of coal.
In other words, in a little over 20 years, we will be burning an additional amount of coal that is equivalent to what the USA and Russia together burn today. So if not renewable, what then about our combined efforts to get more efficient? Energy consumption could be reduced by as much as 50% through efficiency. Aren't we making huge improvements in this area?
The thing we're hopeless at is energy efficiency.
Not so, according to a recent admission from Philip Lowe at a conference in Dublin. He is the Director General of the EU Commission's Energy Directorate.
Because everyone likes to make speeches about it, but when it comes down to actually deciding anything effectively on it, nothing happens.
The world over, governments are letting themselves off the hook of CO2 output promises because of the need to stimulate economic growth. So in the fields of energy efficiency, renewable energies and energy taxing, nothing like enough is being done. Because the really worrying point that the officials on the side of that volcano in Hawaii want to bring to our attention is, we haven't just passed the 400 parts per million milestone, we have sprinted past it. And we're getting faster and faster.
That the rate of increase is rapid. The current rate of increase, as measured on average over the last decade, has been 2 ppm per year. This is at least 100 times higher than any time in the last 800,000 years, as has been measured in ice cores. So this is truly very, very different from what the Earth has experienced over the last millions of years.